Father, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, help us to honor you with our hearts and with our whole heart, Lord, and with our lips and our lives this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we continue on through the Psalms in Psalm 111, and it's an acrostic psalm. There are 11 verses, and each verse has basically two parts to it. And so all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet start one of these phrases, I understand, although I didn't look it up in Hebrew because couldn't probably figure it out anyway. But it is praising God for his faithfulness and justice, or another title is the Psalm of God's Works, which leads us to works of praise. And next week, Lord willing, we'll do 112, which is a sister psalm of this. It's also the same number of verses, an acrostic psalm. And the acrostic psalms, there are a number of them. There's some thought that they were done this way to aid in the memory work. And these acrostic psalms were pretty much memorized during different periods of times in Israel's history by all the kids. They were taught to memorize those psalms, and with the acrostics, you can, you know, it's Alpha, Beth, Gimel. It's not ABCs, but for us, it would be the ABCs. At any rate, really the context of this psalm, I believe, is the last verse in it, because it all kind of flows out of that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So we see now the praising of God's good works. And so I thought of this classic old hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And in the last verse, it's all thy works shall praise thy name. And so that's as direct a quote from a hymn that I can find, or that could be, that would fit this psalm, because that's exactly what it is a psalm to praise him for his works. So let's sing along, if you will.
Oh,
Psalm 111 begins with the familiar phrase, Hallelujah! Or in English, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Think of that. You know, if you think of even your whole heart, it's so inadequate to truly praise the Lord. So think about praising Him with half a heart. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Be wholehearted in your praise. You should never be bashful. I mean, not drawing attention to yourself necessarily, but you should never be bashful. I don't think about praising the Lord. I don't care what environment you're in. Whatever environment you're in, there are going to be those that will certainly agree with you, and there are those that will be hating you. But they need to hear. They need to be in conviction, seems to me. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, and then, as I just said, where? In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Everywhere. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. One of the commentators said, the Lord in His magnificent wisdom gives us the works, and we can kind of recite them, crossing the Red Sea, David killing Goliath, and so on and so on. But if you study them, they are incredible. We talk about a 40-year wilderness march. Think of that. Think how many tons of manna each day was required. Or anything you want to look at in terms of God's works. Think about rainfall. I think there's 1.5 trillion tons of rain falls on this earth every day. So how would you like to keep that tank full? And God in His magnificent wisdom, with the water evaporating off the ocean, how do you get that on the dry land? You put it in the form of clouds and the wind blows it over there and then the condensation and then it falls and the drops have to be just right. If they're too big, they would kill everything it hits. If it's too small, they would evaporate and wouldn't get to the ground. But God in His magnificent wisdom does all these things. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Verse 3, His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. Most people see salvation in that. We certainly see the deliverance all through here of the nation of Israel and so forth, but all of those things are true, but it also impacts every single one of us. What is your righteousness? Your righteousness only is Christ's righteousness. How long does Christ's righteousness last? Forever. So His righteousness endures forever. Your righteousness position in Him endures forever if you accept the gift of salvation. And think about just think about that a little bit as we go on through here. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. So many different things remind us of His works. Maybe it's a song, maybe it's a reading. Maybe it's just memorizing or remembering a place where you were. It's something where He let His wonderful works especially be made known to you. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Think about that. Gracious and full of compassion. You have great respect for man? Well, kind of. Do you know any man who's truly gracious and full of compassion? I don't think so. I mean, some are more gracious and full of compassion than others, but compared to God, no way. No way. He has given food to those who fear Him. What a statement. He will be ever mindful of His covenant. I think that covenant there is the covenant with Jesus Christ, which is forever. If He is going to feed us with physical food, how much more is He going to feed us spiritually? We are created in His image. He has declared to His people the power of His works. What in your mind is the greatest example of power of the Lord's works? I was thinking about that this morning a little bit, and I finally came to the conclusion, I think being born again is the greatest amount of evidence of power. I mean, we like medical science, we like healings and all that stuff. Good. But what is a medical healing? Healing for a short term. Still going to die in these bodies. But being born again means you have a glorified body forever. Power of the resurrection is unbelievable, isn't it? Power of the resurrection. So he has declared to his people the power of his works, and then in giving them the heritage of the nations. Now, that was near-term fulfillment with Israel taking the promised land and driving out, God driving out the seven nations. But it also will be true of the church when we return with him on his second coming, right? We'll have certain aspects over nations. Well, exactly what all that is, I don't know. But the heritage of the nations, he gives them to us. And then verse 7, the works of his hands are verity and justice. Verity, of course, is word for truth. So the works of his hands are truth and justice. That's an interesting work, isn't it? Truth and justice. Where will you find that in the world today? And then all his precepts are sure. Wow. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. You know, I underline the important words to me in this verse, and the only thing I don't have underlined is the and in and. Pretty much every other word is underlined. They are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. And of course, this was redeeming them out of the slavery of the powerful, most powerful nation on earth at that time, Egypt. But again, I think that is way, way behind the redemption that he's given each of us. Redeemed us from the bondage of sin and from the flesh and being filled and born again in the Spirit. He has commanded his covenant forever. Isn't that great? He cannot break his covenant, and he's commanded it forever. So as a believer, you ought to be really, really praising the Lord. An unbeliever should really be convicted. But he has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Is his name holy and awesome to you? And then the close, as I read earlier, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end of wisdom, it's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So if you're doing his commandments, you're doing them out of love, and you have a much fuller understanding of him than if you are not moved to doing anything, right? That's not a very full understanding, because if you have much understanding at all of who he is, you can't help but serve him. You can't help but love him. You can't help but be motivated to maybe give a tiny, 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 tiny bit back for all the things he's given us, right? A good understanding have those who do his commandments, and then closing, his praise endures forever. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious psalm. We thank you for your works. And Lord, help us to be the witnesses you would have us to be by passing on what you've done in our lives, and more by who we are and how we live and what we say. Oh, Lord, those who call themselves Christians and live like the world are such a disgrace to the witness. May that not be me. May that not be us. But may we truly be walking as you would walk. May we not run into any non-believer who is really leading a more godly and peaceful life than we are. We have no message if we're still in bondage and still living like the world. That is not a message of freedom and deliverance and hope. So, Lord, here we are. We have time to pray this morning, and lead us now by your Spirit as we would come to you in one accord, led by your Spirit. Let's pray. Well, we come close to the end of the hour. Page 3 is, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God." So I thought we would close on this. It also is a resurrection song, which is so close where we were just a week ago or a week ago tomorrow. So, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God."
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree, his body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your Son of heaven rose again. Oh, stand up there where you are seen. The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
We thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord, and so much to pray for. But help us not to fail to praise you. And Lord, we just want to kind of turn this psalm in a way, I think, to a prayer in these latter days that you would show the power of your works as never before in saving souls and as far as protecting and delivering your people. We know the deception is great, and we know that the persecution is getting very, very close now to us in this country. And Lord, we know that you're in control. So Lord, guide us as we go now to honor you and to praise you and to stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.